Hello and welcome to True Pathfinder, your portal to health and truth. As you might know, recently a strange phenomenon has gone viral on social media, that of the so-called Magneto COVID arm, where people show video proof that magnets are sticking to their COVID-19 injection sites. So, what is this all about? Why is this strange phenomenon happening? Join me in this video on a fascinating exploration to answer this question. Let's go. So yes, yet another truly bizarre and strange COVID phenomenon has occurred. Recently, as mentioned, videos about people having magnets stick to their COVID injection sites have gone viral. In these videos, people are reporting with video proof that when they apply a small magnet to the injection site, usually the upper arm, right where they got injected with the COVID so-called vaccine, which in reality, as we've discussed in previous presentations, is more of a gene-altering device and not a real vaccine, the magnet is sticking. Yet, when they place this exact same magnet in a different part of their body, it doesn't stick and just falls right off. If you want to see compilations from all around the world, the best ones I have found so far are on a channel called Team Truth. He has made hour-long compilations from social media where people show you exactly what is going on. Those people are certainly not anti-vaxxers, as they have gotten the experimental jabs. So what could possibly be going on? Is it just a cheap parlor trick? Well, after looking through hours and hours of material, I don't think so. Maybe some are faking it, but some of them show you clearly that they don't have a magnet in their armpit behind their arm to attract the magnet. And they try it also with different magnets. So in my opinion, it's not a cheap parlor trick. It could be, of course, everything is possible. But so far, I've seen too much evidence that speaks against it being just a cheap parlor trick. Some people in this video say this is proof they have been chipped. But is it? The fact-checker sites like Snopes and all the other ones have already declared this completely debunked, of course. But is it really? Let's explore some possible explanations for this phenomenon. But before we do that, short reminder, if you enjoy our content, please support us directly by becoming a Patreon or making a small PayPal donation. Links are in the description box below, as always. And get involved in the comments, like, share, and subscribe to help this channel grow. Thank you very much for your support. And now to the first possible explanation for this phenomenon. And it is about so-called super paramagnetic nanoparticles. As you can see here from just two studies that I pulled out, there are many more. This has been researched. This is from PubMed. A research paper here, or study, is titled Super Paramagnetic Nanoparticle Delivery of DNA Vaccine. The second one, Super Paramagnetic Nanoparticles for Effective Delivery of a Malaria DNA Vaccine. And as we know, the Pfizer and the Moderna are so-called DNA vaccines or mRNA vaccines. In the papers, they state the following. The efficiency of delivery of DNA vaccines is often relatively low compared to protein vaccines. The use of super paramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticles, or SPIONs for short, to deliver genes via so-called magnetofection, which is a simple and highly efficient transfection method that uses magnetic fields to concentrate particles containing nucleic acid into the target cells, shows promise in improving the efficiency of gene delivery both in vitro and in vivo. In particular, the duration for gene transfection, especially for in vitro application, can be significantly reduced by magnetofection compared to the time required to achieve high gene transfection with standard protocols. Valuable features of iron oxide nanoparticles in bioapplications include a tight control over the size distribution, magnetic properties of these particles, and the ability to carry particular biomolecules to specific targets. Numerous synthesis methods have been used to produce magnetic nanoparticles for bioapplications with different sizes and surface charges. The most common method for synthesizing nanometer-sized magnetite ferron 304 particles in solution is by chemical co-precipitation of iron salts. The co-precipitation method is an effective technique for preparing a stable, aqueous dispersions of iron oxide nanoparticles. In another study, they say naked spions often lack sufficient stability, hydrophilicity, and the capacity to be functionalized. In order to overcome these limitations, polycationic polymer was anchored on the surface of freshly prepared spions by direct electrostatic attraction between the negatively charged spions, due to the presence of carboxylic groups, and the positively charged polymer. Polyethylamine was chosen to modify the surface of the spines to assist the delivery of plasmid DNA into mammalian cells due to the polymer's extensive buffering capacity through the proton sponge effect. So this could be an explanation for the magnetism, that they are using these spines, these super paramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticles, to enhance the effectiveness of the so-called vaccines. Another possible explanation is that they are using so-called DNA hydrogel. As you can see here from some studies on the right, they have used DNA hydrogel-based gene editing for better drug delivery. There's another one here, remote controlling DNA hydrogel by magnetic field, and another one, self-assembly of a magnetic DNA hydrogel as a new biomaterial for enzyme encapsulation with enhanced activity and stability. In this paper, they say we provide a new strategy to construct a magnetic DNA hydrogel for enzyme encapsulation, in this case through a programmable one-pot self-assembly approach, which can be easily separated from the reaction medium. The encapsulated enzyme composites exhibited significantly improved enzymatic activity, stability, reusability, and excellent selectivity for the detection of low concentrations of glucose. DNA hydrogel has aroused widespread attention because of its unique properties, it says in another paper. In this work, the DNA-modified magnetic nanoparticles were integrated into the mainframe of DNA hydrogel, resulting in DNA-MNP hydrogel. Under the magnetic field, this hydrogel can be remotely deformed into various shapes, driven to jump between two planes, and even climb the hill. By applying various triggers, such as temperature, enzyme, and magnetic field, DNA MNP hydrogel can specifically undergo sol-gel transition. This work not only imparts DNA hydrogel with a new fold of property, but also opens a unique platform of such smart materials for its further applications. A third possible explanation is magnetogenetics. Scientists in the field of magnetogenetics genetically engineer cells so that they will respond to magnetic fields. Now, researchers can remotely control specific neurons in the body using magnets, or to be more precise, electromagnetic fields, radio frequencies. Those neurons could be the ones that control how hungry an animal gets, Or they could be neurons that control leg muscles, so a mouse starts running when a magnet or electromagnetic field is switched on, or a magnet is nearby. A magnetic field can turn on neurons that contain proteins rich in iron. The field does this by heating or giving a mechanical push to those proteins. Researchers had already been able to control neurons with light. That process is called optogenetics. To use it, scientists insert light-sensitive molecules into the neurons of living animals, and the researchers can then turn the neurons on or off simply by shining a light on them. With this technique, neuroscientists have done some incredible things. They've made mice run in circles, for example. The whole idea behind magnetogenetics is that you don't have to implant anything. The cells deep inside a body could be switched on or off with just a magnetic field. But there's a snag. The only protein found naturally inside animal cells that's even remotely magnetic is ferritin. Each molecule can have as many as 4,500 atoms of iron. And that may sound like a lot, but it's not. The force that a magnet acting on ferritin generated would be only a billionth as strong as would be needed to turn on a neuron. And therefore, a team of scientists have developed protein crystals that could carry enough iron to make their cells responsive to magnets. So controlling people with magnets or electromagnetic fields sounds a little, well, wacky. But scientists, according to an article here in ACS, engineered protein crystals make cells magnetic, have done something close to that. They have engineered cells to make long, needle-like crystals rich in iron. Researchers can then use magnets to control cells containing these crystals. The new area of magnetogenetics seeks to use genetically encoded proteins that are sensitive to magnetic fields to study and manipulate cells. Many previous approaches have featured a natural iron storage protein called ferritin, as mentioned, which can self-assemble into a cage that holds as many as 4,500 iron atoms. But as mentioned already, even with this large iron storage capacity, ferritin cages in cells generate magnetic forces that are millions of times too small for practical applications. So to drastically increase the amount of iron that a protein assembly can store, Biangxiao Cui and his colleagues wanted to combine the iron-binding ability of ferritin with the self-assembly properties of another protein called IncaBox PARC4-CAT that can form huge spindle-shaped crystals inside of cells. The researchers wondered if they could line the hollow interiors of the crystals with ferritin proteins to store larger amounts of iron that would generate substantial magnetic forces. To make these new crystals, the researchers fused genes encoding ferritin and IncaBox PARC4-CAT and expressed the new protein in human cells in a petri dish. The resulting crystals, which grew to about 45 microns in length, or about half the diameter of a human hair, that you can see here also in the picture on the right, after 3 days did not affect cell survival. The researchers then broke open the cells, isolated the crystals, and added iron, which enabled them to pull the crystals around with external magnets. There are video recordings that you can find on YouTube that show these iron-rich crystals moving towards a strong magnet. The crystals pull the entire cell along with them. Robinson expressed excitement over this. He said it's an excellent step towards engineering cells to create their own magnetic nanoparticles. Scientists aren't sure what will happen to the crystals afterward, but the cells have the genes for the crystals. So every cell reproduced from the original cells should be able to make the crystals, according to Cui. And things about magnetogenetics have been reported even in the mainstream media, as you can see here from a title from the Mail Online, Military Magnetic Field Breakthrough Could Lead to Mind-Reading Computers and Harry Potter Wands to Check for Head Injuries. In the article, they say that our own body generates electric currents that create ripples in the surrounding magnetic field. These magnetic field variations allow medical professionals to use certain diagnostic tools for brain and heart conditions. The interesting part is that they go on to say, but now new research led by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, aims to go beyond these diagnostic tests and develop magnetic field sensing for broader applications such as brain-machine interfaces, for uses such as controlling prosthetic limbs and external machines through the magnetic signals associated with thought. There is another article that I found on PubMed, Magnetogenetics, Remote Non-Invasive Magnetic Activation of Neuronal Activity with a Magnetoreceptor. In that study, they state that current neuromodulation techniques such as optogenetics that I've explained to you and deep brain stimulation are transforming basic and translational neuroscience. These two neuromodulation approaches are, however, invasive since surgical implantation of an optical fiber or wire electrode is required. Here, we have invented a non-invasive magnetogenetics that combines the genetic targeting of a magnetoreceptor with remote magnetic stimulation. The non-invasive activation of neurons was achieved by a neuronal expression of an exogenous magnetoreceptor, an iron sulfur cluster assembly, protein 1, called ISCA1, and in HEK293 cells and culture hippocampal neurons expressing this magnetoreceptor, application of an external magnetic field resulted in membrane depolarization and calcium influx in a reproducible and reversible manner, so they could switch it on and off. The activation of this magnetoreceptor can depolarize neurons and elicit trains of action potentials, which can be triggered repetitively with a remote magnetic field in whole cell patch clamp recording. Application of the external magnetic field triggered muscle contraction and withdrawal behavior of the worms on which they experimented on, and you can find a short video of that also on YouTube. And this is, according to them, indicative of magnet-dependent activation of muscle cells and touch receptor neurons, respectively. The advantages of magnetogenetics over optogenetics are its exclusive, non-invasive, deep penetration, long-term continuous dosing, unlimited accessibility, spatial uniformity, and relative safety. And I've tried to use intentionally only mainstream sources. There are many more than I'm showing you here, so that you cannot accuse me of using some obscure alternative media sources. The next article is from The Guardian, a mainstream newspaper from the UK. The title of the article is Genetically Engineered Magnetoprotein Remotely Controls Brain and Behavior. Interesting. Let's see what they say. Researchers in the United States, with DARPA funding, by the way, this is what I say because they don't mention it in the article, but as we have seen in another mainstream article, they did mention it, that much of this magnetogenetics research is funded by DARPA, interestingly enough. These researchers have developed a new method for controlling the brain circuits associated with complex animal behaviors using genetic engineering to create a magnetized protein that activates specific groups of nerve cells from a distance. In recent years, researchers have developed a number of methods that enable them to remotely control specific groups of neurons and to probe the workings of neuronal circuits. The most powerful of this is called optogenetics, which enables researchers to switch populations of related neurons on or off on a millisecond by millisecond timescale with pulses of laser light, as discussed. Another recently developed method that we haven't mentioned so far, but this article does mention, is called chemogenetics, which uses engineered proteins that are activated by designer drugs and can be targeted to specific cell types. Although powerful, both of these methods have drawbacks. Optogenetics is invasive, requiring insertion of optical fibers that deliver the light pulses into the brain, and furthermore, the extent to which the light penetrates the dense brain tissue is severely limited. Chemogenetic approaches overcome both of these limitations, but typically induce biochemical reactions that take several seconds to activate the nerve cells. The new technique, developed in Ali Güler's lab at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville and described in an advanced online publication in the journal Nature Neuroscience, is not only non-invasive but can also activate neurons rapidly and reversibly. Several earlier studies have shown that nerve cell proteins, which are activated by heat and mechanical pressure, can be genetically engineered so that they become sensitive to radio waves and magnetic fields. By attaching them to an iron-storing protein called ferritin, as we have discussed, or to inorganic paramagnetic particles. These methods represent an important advance. They have, for example, already been used to regulate blood glucose levels in mice. But they involve multiple components which have to be introduced separately. This new technique, on the other hand, developed by Güler and colleagues, builds on his earlier work and is based on a protein called TRPV4, which is sensitive to both temperature and stretching forces. These stimuli open its central pore, allowing electrical current to flow through the cell membrane, and this evokes nervous impulses that travel into the spinal cord and then up to the brain. Güler and his colleagues reasoned that magnetic torque or rotating forces might activate TRPV4 by tugging open its central pore, so they used genetic engineering to fuse the protein to the paramagnetic region of ferritin together with short DNA sequences that signal cells to transport proteins to the nerve cell membrane and insert them into it. When they introduced this genetic construct into human embryonic kidney cells growing in petri dishes, the cells synthesized what they call the magnetoprotein and inserted it into their membrane. Application of a magnetic field activated then this engineered TRPV4 protein, as evidenced by transient increases in calcium ion concentration within the cells, which were detected with a fluorescence microscope. Next, the researchers inserted this magneto-DNA sequence into the genome of what they call a virus, together with the gene encoding green fluorescent protein and regulatory DNA sequences that cause the construct to be expressed only in specified types of neurons. They then injected this virus into the brains of mice, targeting the entorhinal cortex, and dissected the animals' brains to identify the cells that emitted green fluorescence. Using microelectrodes, they then showed that applying a magnetic field to the brain slices activated magneto so that the cells produce nervous impulses. Then they went a step further to determine whether magneto can be used to manipulate neuronal activity in live animals. They injected magneto into zebrafish larvae, targeting neurons in the trunk and tail that normally control an escape response. They then placed the zebrafish larvae into a specially built magnetized aquarium and found that exposure to a magnetic field induced coiling maneuvers similar to those that occur during an escape response. This experiment involved a total of 9 zebrafish larvae, and the subsequent analysis revealed that each larva contained about 5 neurons expressing magneto. In one final experiment, the researchers then injected magneto into the striatum of freely behaving mice, which is a deep brain structure that contains dopamine-producing neurons that are involved in reward and motivation. And then they placed the animals into an apparatus split into a magnetized and a non-magnetized section. Mice expressing magneto spent far more time in the magnetized areas than mice that did not, because activation of the protein caused the striatal neurons expressing it to release dopamine, so that the mice found being in those areas rewarding. This shows that magneto can remotely control the firing of neurons deep within the brain and also control complex behaviors. The senior author of the study, Mr. Güller, concludes, quote, "We may have discovered a major step towards developing a dream tool for remotely controlling neural circuits by manipulating specific cells using engineered gene products that respond to magnets or magnetic fields." Time for conclusions then. This is another story where there are more questions than answers. Fact is, we need more research, and this presentation is meant to be an invitation for all of you who are inquiring minds to do your own research into these directions that I've presented to you. Maybe you find even more explanations. Please share your ideas and your research with everybody in the comment section down below. This is a developing story, and what I've presented to you are just some possible explanations. We need proof for all of this hypothesis. It could be that this COVID magneto arm is caused by the inclusion of this magnetogenetic technology that we've discussed in the vaccines. This technology, as we have seen, makes it possible to manipulate your behavior and even your body functions through pulsed magnetic fields in the microwave range, by the way, which they don't mention in the mainstream articles very much, just as 5G, 4G, and all of the mobile phone technologies use. It could also be that this super paramagnetic delivery system is used in the vaccines to enhance the vaccine delivery and its effectiveness thereby. Or is it a magnetic DNA hydrogel, as we've discussed? I don't know. That's why I invite you all to do the research. It is not a microchip per se, if you ask me, because a microchip is made of silicon and copper or gold or silver. So these are not magnetic materials. Is this also the main reason you should not get the COVID jab? Well, in my opinion, no. The main reason remains that it is an unproven experimental drug, and I am not sure if you want to be a guinea pig in a medical trial. With the officially, and I like to stress here, officially recorded death from this COVID so-called vaccine standing at over 11,000 according to US and European statistics, and the real number obviously being much, much higher, the COVID vaccine is clearly a killer. According to government data published at VAERS, just 82 people died in 2020 after being vaccinated. But so far, in 2021, there are already 4,057 deaths that have been reported following COVID-19 vaccinations. That's an increase of over 4,000%. And by the way, we are barely into the second quarter of 2021. So we are comparing here two quarters of 2021 where we already have 4,000 deaths, versus an entire year of 2020 where just 82 people died. Any other drug or medicine having such lethal effects would have been pulled from the market long ago. Also, another interesting fact for you. According to Forbes magazine, quote, countries with the world's highest vaccination rates, including four of the top five most vaccinated, are fighting right now to contain coronavirus outbreaks that are, on a per capita basis, higher than the surge devastating India. A trend that has experts questioning the efficacy of some vaccines and the wisdom of easing restrictions even with the most of the population vaccinated. One thing is for sure, this wholly unnatural COVID so-called vaccine concoction is a vastly different beast than the normal run-of-the-mill toxic vaccines that humanity has been fed for over a century, and as we can already see from the data, it's a very dangerous drug that, as we've also seen in this presentation, could have further, even graver implications. And even if it turns out that the vaccine and this magneto arm is not about magnetogenetic technology, I still am of the opinion that it's interesting to research these technologies that they are developing, because they could use it at any time in other drugs. With all that being said, I hope that you've enjoyed this presentation. If you did so, please support us directly by becoming a Patreon or making a small PayPal donation. And do not forget to like, share, subscribe, and get involved in the comments. Tell us what you think and where your research leads you to. Thank you very much for your involvement and your support. And until next time, stay healthy.